male and female sex differences, contraception, transgenderism. These are some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Ethics of Sex from Taboo to Delight. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Ethics of Sex contributors include Issues Etc. guest Ben Mays, Tom Eckstein, and Richard Stuckwish. Ethics of Sex, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
The back alley of abortions operating today inside so-called legal abortion clinics.
What I think makes evolutionary theory bad science today is we're not allowing an honest testing of it.
If you're a Christian and you're going to oppose same-sex marriage, we're going to put you in Bigotville and you have to stay there. And if we catch you outside in likable land, then we're going to be very angry about this and punish you for kind of coming into our territory.
I think the liturgy really is children's church. You know, it's especially true when you see people who've lost their memory, who've lost their sight, who don't know how to read. Children who don't know how to read, they can all participate in the liturgy.
Latin teachers and future seminarians. Love, Issues, etc. Pater Noster, quias in caelis, sanctificat or nomen tuum, ad veniam regnum.
They are familiar stories, and it seems just kind of ordinary to us. Here's Jesus. What's he going to do after he is publicly revealed to be the Son of God through his baptism, after he has been tempted in the wilderness by Satan, after he has come through without having succumbed to Satan's temptations? What does he do next? Well, of course, he does what any Messiah would do. He starts calling a group of disciples, a specific group of men who will follow him, who will learn from him, as the name disciple entails. But that's how the story's told. That's how the story occurred. I guess we seldom stop to ask the question, why did he choose disciples? Were they necessary to what he came to accomplish? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Tom Baker is going to join us to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus calls his disciples. Why does he call them? Then Pastor Peter Burfein joins us. We're going to kick off a new series with him, Gnosticism in 21st Century America. Get a little primer on what Gnosticism is, both past and present. He's author of the book, Gnostic America, a reading of contemporary American culture and religion according to Christianity's oldest heresy. You can join us over the next hour of the program. 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number for your questions and your comments. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and our Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Tom Baker joins us every week to teach Sunday school lesson. We'll be in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus calls his first disciples. Pastor Baker is host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much.
We don't actually often entertain this question, but is there an answer to the question of why Jesus called this specific group of men to be his disciples?
That's a really good question, and the answer I'm going to give you, Todd, I would not have given you 2 weeks ago, because I didn't read a particular passage that really changed my understanding of why God uses representatives for him. It actually was part of the Old Testament reading from Number 6. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel." Now, what follows then is the Aaronic blessing. We're all familiar with this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then listen to what God says to Moses. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Now, what I did in the sermon, a lot of so-called pastors say the way you get more blessings from God is you become obedient, then you'll get more blessings. And the point of the sermon was, no, the Christian God blesses us by putting his name upon us. And I made that connection, therefore, to baptism. I baptize you into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The point I was making is blessings come from God through his representatives in the way that he decides. So I said to the congregation, we are not going to visibly see Jesus here this morning, but you will see me, the pastor, as I do the words of institution over the bread and the wine, and as you receive it, you will be receiving the body and blood. So, to answer your question, getting back to this, God has decided to use representatives, other human beings, to do his work. And therefore, a pastor has no power to forgive sins, but he has the authority to do so because he's using his voice speaking for God. He has no power to bring a little baby into the Holy Christian Church, but because he has been called, he therefore uses the authority in the same way that he does the Lord's Supper. So the reason that Jesus brought forth disciples was in order that after he departs from this world, ascends into heaven, he's still among us, but he is now the one who is preaching through others. And therefore, the apostles are somewhat distinct from just disciples, because they're able also to have the Holy Spirit inspire them to write words, as did the prophets. But all of us can be disciples in telling others about the good news of Jesus Christ, because we then become the voice of God. And that would be the reason I would answer your question why Jesus chose these disciples.
And I think you've pointed out before that, you know, ordinarily, a Jewish rabbi, he wouldn't go around recruiting. He might recruit, but he wouldn't go around calling or choosing disciples. His disciples, his students, chose him, but Jesus does it differently.
Yes, Jesus did differently because he was choosing those whom he wanted to be his disciples. And so he did just the very opposite. Normally, like even at the seminary, when you sign up for classes, you have a favorite professor. And so really fine professors who hold your attention, are not boring, etc., they tend to have larger classes. Jesus did the opposite. He chose instead. And why did he do that? Well, it fits right in with the Christian view of God. As Jesus himself said, you did not choose me, I chose you. He not only chooses us in regard to salvation, that's called election, but he also helps to choose what our vocations are, as he gives us gifts in certain areas so that we can do the work. And hopefully then he'll look at us like he looked at his begotten Son, and will look at all his adopted children and say, today you have pleased me.
Now, the account from Matthew begins with Matthew noting that Jesus changes locations. He goes from Nazareth, his hometown, where he is, where we were told elsewhere he was actually rejected in his preaching. He goes from there, and it says he goes to live at Capernaum by the sea, which will occasion meeting his first disciples. But Matthew tells us that this is to fulfill something spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Take us in there.
Yes. Nothing is in the Bible that doesn't have a purpose. Right now at Trinity Orchard Farm, we're finally getting ready to complete our study of Old Testament prophecies, and I'm up over 300 of them that are fulfilled in the New Testament. And one of my friends says there's really 1,000 of them. So everything that is written in the Bible has a point. and that point needs to be examined. The point you're talking about, that it says, leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, one of the best tools a Christian can have is called a concordance. So what is a concordance? It's every word in the Bible, at least the major ones, and you can look them up alphabetically and see where else they are found. So when we take a look at Zebulun and Naphtali, we run into Isaiah chapter 9. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. And that's interesting. The last word in verse 12 is Galilee. And then we have this very famous passage. The people, and we're talking about in Zebulun, Naphtali, Galilee, who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And guess what? Jesus is the light of the world that has come to them. And so Matthew, we believe, is kind of writing to Jewish people, and therefore he has a lot of Bible verses from the Old Testament to help us understand why Jesus is doing what he is doing. As verse 14 says, therefore Jesus is fulfilling what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah.
And then he begins to preach, and we have a little bit of his message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is Jesus saying here?
Yes. We need to understand what repentance means from God's point of view. Remember, it's also the same message of John the Baptizer. So, what is repentance? Repentance is not a means of grace in the sense that if you confess your sins, for example, that you are saved, but it prepares you for the hearing of the means of grace. For the kingdom is at hand simply means that, what is the kingdom of heaven at hand? Recently in confirmation, I talked about the word heaven having four meanings in the Bible. The one meaning is simply God created the heavens and the earth. Heaven means the stars, the sun, the moon, the planets. But the other three meanings are spiritual meanings. The last one, the third one, is the kingdom of heaven after judgment day, when our bodies are restored to our spirits. The other kingdom of heaven is called the interim, when we die and our spirit goes to be with Jesus in the interim. That's the kingdom of heaven. But the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is speaking about is occurring right here on earth. A Sunday school teacher may say to the students, and I love to teach through questioning. I would ask them this question. Where would you say is heaven? And I'll bet you most of the students will point up in the air. To the air. Jesus ascended into the heavens. Judgment day is in the heavens. And then the teacher can correct them and say, no, you right now are in the kingdom of heaven, because God used a pastor to bring you through baptism into the kingdom of heaven, which today we call the Holy Christian Church. And that's why Jesus says both law and gospel. Repent, that's the law. Recognize your sin, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the kingdom of heaven is when you are adopted by God to be his child, and that comes through being adopted.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Wednesday, January the 4th, Jesus calling his disciples in Matthew chapter 4. When we come back, he gets around to the Sea of Galilee. Stay tuned.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday, January the 4th, we're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, Jesus calling his disciples in Matthew chapter 4. He goes where the fishermen are in order to find some fishermen. Talk about how he calls these first of his disciples.
Yes, beginning with verse 20, when he calls them, immediately they left their nets and followed him. In other words, he tells them he will make them fishers of men. And two of the brothers, first is Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, they were the first two fishermen, and they became the first two disciples. It's always interesting to me that had I been out there fishing and somebody said, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, I'm not really sure that I would have dropped all my fishing equipment and just left the boats and gone after him, but they do. In fact, immediately, they not only left the boat, but they also left their father and followed him. And then he did bring others in, namely James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And they were in the boat with Zebedee, their father, whom they left, mending their nets, and he called them. What I find interesting here is calling the disciples, I put in the same category as changing water into wine. Jesus had the water. He simply spoke the word over the water, and it became much, much wine. The call of Jesus first occurred in the very first passages of the entire Bible. In Genesis 1, verse 3, and the Lord said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. even before the Son had been created. So the call of God actually not only is that which is heard, but the motivation to obey it is also there. So who knows how much they knew about Jesus ahead of time? We know, for example, that John the Baptizer was a cousin of Jesus. Remember, his mother was Elizabeth. Mary had gone to visit. So there may have been some understanding about him, and they may already have had some understanding, but later on, it's clear some of the disciples hardly even knew him. One of them said, you know, I think I found the Messiah. Why don't you come in and hear him also? At any rate, his call is very important because it shows that this is not just a call to Christians. This is a call to disciples who become apostles. And we, particularly in the Lutheran Church and other denominations, agree with this, that the call into the ministry is also a call from God through the congregation. A person should not just stand up in the middle of the congregation and say, I feel that God is calling me, and therefore I'm going to be your pastor. No, that's not the way it works. Instead, you may allow your name to be in part of the mix, but it is the congregation that does the calling, and that's the same thing that Moses did with Aaron and his sons. So in the same way that God used Moses to call Aaron and his sons to bless the people, so also Jesus called the disciples in order to the work of ministry, which will bless the people.
So I want to come back to something you said just a moment ago, that is, we really ought to view this calling of the disciples as miraculous. I've often said that every time Jesus makes a disciple, it's a miracle. And he makes every single one that's ever been, including you and me. Talk about that, Tom.
In fact, you're quoting the Confessions, the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I cannot by my own reason or strength, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus or come to him, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Every time a person comes to faith, a pastor should never take credit for that, because all he is doing is being the voice of God and the means by which somebody comes to faith that God uses, we call the means of grace. The law is never a means of grace. All it does is show you how incapable you are of saving yourself. But the gospel is the means of grace, which is the word of the gospel and the sacraments, which connect the gospel to actual events. And what do we mean by the gospel? The gospel is more than just teaching, and Sunday school teachers need to realize this. They have not completed their task simply by telling the history of this event here, of Jesus calling the disciples. Instead, they turn to the promises that Jesus is not only fulfilling, but also making to us. And it's trust in the promises of that gospel. And that promises include the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness. It is clinging to that that produces faith which saves.
Jesus then goes to where he has called these disciples. He now goes throughout all of Galilee, the whole region here that we've been talking about. And he attracts great crowds. How does he do it?
He attracts great crowds because in other parts of the Bible, they are astonished at his teaching. Verse 23, notice the three things he does: teaching, proclaiming the gospel, and healing every disease. And I'll tell you what was very helpful here is the Growing in Christ Concordia Publishing House, where they show that the teaching and proclaiming both refer to the ministry of preaching. And I always have as a goal that after every sermon, I want these two kinds of responses. Number one, boy, I never heard that before. And number two, I am comforted. Now, Jesus did also healing, which was a great comfort because it shows that he was sent from God to deliver from sin, death, and Satan. So unlike a, say, a philosophical lecture that is only words, Jesus' ministry and the ministry of the church is both word and deed. The words that the pastors give at a funeral actually causes comfort to come to those who are grieving so they no longer grieve as those who have no hope.
So the picture that we have here of Jesus calling disciples, bring this home for us to the children in the Sunday school lesson.
That they also have been benefits of the disciples as pastors that God has called. And I would even put the Sunday school teachers in that position of teaching the children. In fact, one of the confirmands I'm teaching, I just ran across a poem that she had written, and it was wonderful. It wouldn't have been a poem she could have written before confirmation, but now understanding the distinctions between law and gospel, understanding how important her Savior Jesus is for her, then she too now becomes a witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. And as she proclaims that message through her poem, people who read that, the Holy Spirit may bring them to faith because they are hearing the pure gospel, which is the means of grace.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Heals Many, in Luke chapter 4. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
We have a new Issues Etc. book of the month because we have entered not only upon a new year, but a new month as well. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January is Ethics of Sex from Taboo to Delight. It covers all of the subjects that are currently the hotbed subjects in culture and responds to them with a biblical worldview and with a solid Christian idea. Ethics of Sex from Taboo to Delight. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find it on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Ethics of Sex, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. On the other side of the break, we're going to start a new series with Pastor Peter Burfind, the beginning of a five-part series with him on Gnosticism in 21st century America. We begin with a little Gnosticism 101. What is it, both past and present? Stay tuned.
Come listen to Drs. Alvin Schmidt and Roland Elke at the 3rd Annual Concordia Apologetics Conference, Cultures in Collision, Faith and a Fractured World, this March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can register online at www.cuw.edu/apologetics or call 262-243-4343. That's the Concordia Apologetics Conference, March 3rd and 4th at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one. with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.